Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to be in verses 4 and 5. So 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Father, would you thank you this morning that there is salvation through Jesus Christ, and there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way. Jesus is the life. He's the door. He's the only way of salvation. And thank you, Father, that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Thank you, Father, for paying that sin debt that we cannot pay, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Father, for the victory that comes through Jesus Christ. But Lord, would you help us this morning to be reminded of and to learn that we have to live through Jesus Christ in order to have victory. He's already given us the victory, but we can't live separated from him. We can't live life a different way, but we have to live it in unison with Christ, allowing him to do his great work in our life. Father, would you help us this morning to hear your voice from heaven as you speak to us? I pray that you would remove all distractions of our thoughts, things that we have to do later today or this coming up week, or just anything that would keep us from being completely in tune to your voice and completely attentive to the things that you want to speak to our hearts about. Father, we ask that you rebuke the devil on our behalf. Help us, Lord, to draw nigh unto you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful set of verses in 1 John chapter 5 that we read this morning, because it truly does show every child of God that they do have victory and can live a victorious Christian life. The Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this morning, reminding us about living victoriously as God's children. I understand sometimes you may not feel like on any given day that you have any victory whatsoever, that you're living victoriously, but again, it's not about our circumstances. It is about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is a great example of someone who chose to live victoriously, even with the thorn in the flesh, even with people against him, even with difficulties in his life. Yet he remained focused on the author and finisher of his faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot live the Christian life apart from our Savior. I will say it again. You cannot live the Christian life apart from your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We live our life through him. Paul said this in Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh," we still have to live life, but as Paul says, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Living victoriously is having the mindset and the heart that Paul had, that though I still have to live life in this flesh, there's still difficulties, there's still oppositions, there's still resistance. I'm still dealing with my flesh that does not want to do right, my flesh that is drawn to sin, but I have to resist it, as we're told to resist the devil and draw nigh unto the Lord. We can live victoriously if we will keep our eyes on Christ, keep our hearts in tune with him, and let him do the work in us and through us. Again, Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He has delivered us from the chains of darkness. He's broken the bondage of sin in our life. He has taken the keys of death and hell away from Satan. And I'm looking forward to the day that we get to see him face to face, but no man knows the hour. Not even the angels know when Christ is going to return. Jesus said, only my Father. Jesus is waiting for the Father to have the trumpet sound, the last trump, so that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet our Savior and to be with him forevermore. But we can live victoriously now in this life, and we can expect to live victoriously in this life because we are the children of God. If you are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith in the shed blood of Christ, you are a child of God. That's what John says in verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You and I can expect victory in our lives and to live victoriously because we are the children of God. We are the children of light, not the children of darkness. Go to John chapter 3, if you would. Keep a finger here, but go back to John chapter 3. And let's look at the words of Christ. You and I and all of God's people can live victoriously every day if we truly will meditate on Galatians 2:20 and let that be our focus and let that be our life, because Paul was a man who sold his life out to the Lord. He sold his life out early on as a Pharisee. That's why he was persecuting the church. He was killing Christians, those that had put their faith and trust in Christ. But when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and transformed his life, well, then he sold out for Christ. I mean, he was fervent for the Lord, and he wasn't going to let anything keep him from accomplishing God's will, completing God's course in his life, and he wasn't going to let the devil have any room in his life whatsoever. All right? Again, in our day and age, there are so many different roads and avenues and doors for the devil to get into people's lives that we just freely open those doors, whether it's music, whether it's TV, whether it's relationships, whether it's, you know, legal drugs now, right? Whatever the devil can do, that's, again, he's convinced so many Christians that it's okay to drink alcohol because, well, you know, Jesus turned water into wine, but you don't see where he drank it. And if you study it out, man, their fermentation took a lot longer. They had to drink a lot more to get intoxicated back then, all right? Let's not twist who Jesus is to justify the sin that we commit. We can live victoriously and not give any room to the devil, but we have to live victoriously through Jesus Christ. Again, you and I can expect victory in our lives because we are the children of God. And in John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. That's verse 7. Jesus, speaking to a religious man, said, you must be born again. John said in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You and I and every other soul on this planet cannot overcome the sin of the world without Jesus Christ. And we cannot enter into the glory of God except through Jesus Christ. He has given his children the power to overcome the dragon, to overcome Lucifer, Satan, the old serpent, the devil. Hebrews 11:10 reminds us, for he looked for a city, speaking of Abraham, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We have a place in heaven prepared for us because we are the children of God. 1 Peter chapter 2:11, dear Lord, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Listen, as I was talking to the Sunday school class this morning, and Matthew, let me just tell you something real quick. If this goes out, switch it over. I'm not naive of the devil's devices. The devil wants to use anything he can to keep the truth from being known. the devil, as we looked at in Sunday school, was created as a beautiful cherub by his creator, God Almighty, Lucifer. We saw the description of him. He was created to lead the host of heaven in worship. He is very musically talented. And he uses music to control people. I told the people this in Sunday school that when I was a teenager, and thank the Lord that he saved me out of it, but I listened to heavy metal music, the devil's music. And then I even had a Christian friend try to turn me over to Christian heavy metal music. Same tune, different words, and I was like, what's the difference? I'll stick to what I have. Because at the time, I didn't like the words of his Christian music, all right? But it was the same tune. And then just the fact that the devil will use music to control people, he'll use what some call Christian music to control people, to cause them to think things that are not true. Listen, if the music causes, and it should if you're a child of God, if the music causes your insides to become twisted and you become uncomfortable with ungodly music, that's a good thing. Turn it off, get rid of it, don't listen to it. Because God's music, music that glorifies God, brings calmness to the soul, brings peace to the soul, causes our thoughts to be of God Almighty, not of ourselves, because it's all about Him. Living victoriously, we will have to get rid of some things in our homes, in our possessions, because you can't walk with the devil and walk with Christ. You can't have both. But as the children of God, you and I can expect victory because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. In John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Yes, the children of God have power in their lives, not to use how they want, but power to transform them into the image of Christ and to help us to resist the things of this world. You and I can expect victory because we are the children of God, and I hope that you are. I'm assuming that you are, but maybe you're not. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right? We're told in Romans 10 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? Believing on the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the power of God. Jesus Christ is the power of God. And who is it that delivers a soul from the bondage of hell and the bondage of sin and the bondage of the devil's grip? It's Jesus Christ. He broke the chains when He said, it is finished. But I know that there are people walking with defeated hearts and defeated minds. Understand the devil, when he lost the grip in your life on the day that you received Christ as your Savior, he didn't stop wanting to control you. He didn't stop wanting to destroy you. And all he can do now is to try to get into the minds of God's people to cause them to think that they have no victory, that they have no peace, that there is no joy, that, you know what, it'll be victory when you're dead. No, there's victory now. And again, listen. Stop believing the lies of the devil. I implore you this morning, get rid of things that are ungodly, whether it's music, look, whether it's TV shows. God wants to influence His people, and He does it through His pure word. No other way. The devil does it through music, through TV shows, through books, through relationships. I mean, he just wants to be the king of your life, but Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Now listen, we can have victory because we are the children of God, and you and I can expect victory if we have confidence in God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, but not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you did that, if you and I truly have put all our faith in Jesus Christ, and I know, and hopefully you know without a shadow of doubt that you're saved on your way to heaven, you don't ever fear of losing that gift because it's a gift of God. It's nothing we earned. It's nothing we paid for. It's nothing we worked for. It's God's grace as our hearts will be turned in repentance toward God, and we would believe on Jesus' finished work, not on the things that we do. Well, listen, then we have confidence, and we should have confidence that God will do everything else for us. That God, if God gave us power through Jesus Christ to have the gift of salvation, to be the child of God, right? He has given us the power to become the sons of God. Then isn't it true that he would give us power to resist the things of the devil? Would he give us the power to live a holy life? He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Wouldn't he give us the desire to want to be more like Christ instead of like the world? John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Aren't you glad that you have a Savior this morning that doesn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk? He actually walked this life, and he defeated the life that you and I have to live. He defeated flesh. He defeated sin. He defeated the devil, right? Jesus lived perfectly for those 30 plus years on this earth, perfectly, because he knew that we couldn't. But he did it so we could live through him, that we could be robed in his righteousness. Again, not to give us a cloak to, you know, to live however we want to and say, "Well, that's just my flesh, it's just sin." No, but he's given us a way, right, to resist the temptation, and it's through his power. Again, Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Are you doing that today? Have you been doing that? Have you been living your life through the faith of Jesus Christ? Not through the knowledge of Christ. A lot of people know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus personally. They're not walking with him daily. They're not seeing a transformation in their life. They're not seeing victory over sin, victory over bad habits, victory over temptations in their life. The life that we now live in the flesh must be lived through faith in Christ. Yes, faith for salvation, but faith for today. "Lord, help me to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Help me to resist the things of this world, just as Jesus resisted the temptations of Satan there in the wilderness. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And Jesus said in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible." Actually, that was Gabriel speaking to Mary. But with God nothing shall be impossible. Why? Because he's given us the power of Christ in our life to live for him. All right? We can expect victory in our life because we are God's children, because we do have confidence in God's ability and God's power in our life. And you know what? Hopefully we have some convictions about God. You know, convictions are good. Convictions come sometimes by God stepping on our toes, pointing things out in our life that aren't right, right? Pointing out whether it's a weight or a sin. As we're told in Hebrews, laying aside the weight or the sin that does so easily beset us. We should be seeing daily victories in our life. Daily we should be seeing, you know what? I'm getting closer to God. I'm getting closer to God. Now, okay, it's life. At times you may take one step, you know, closer to God, and then, you know, something happens and it seems like you got knocked back two steps. That's life, right? But we don't have to let our minds think,
I'm losing, right? I'm in this tug of war. No, because we're walking with Christ. He's given us the victory. And sometimes when we get knocked back two steps, it might be God saying, hey, you need to fix that. You need to make that relationship right. You need to say you're sorry. You need to, there's something to do. Not for salvation, but you know what? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I don't want my relationship to be hindered. And trust me, I know how it can be hindered. And you know how your relationship can be hindered with the Lord. And you probably might have experienced it where God, you know, wasn't talking for a while. And you felt like God's not talking. And God's saying, you know what, you need to go make that right. And you might even struggle and say, but Lord, kind of like with Peter and John, Peter says, what about him? And Jesus says, follow me. It's not about him. It's not about her. It's about you. You and your relationship, because God wants you to live victoriously through Christ. Listen, can I even say this? We shouldn't even give the devil any praise or glory. You don't think, well, Pastor, I don't worship the devil. No, we don't openly, and we don't verbally, you know, say, you know, blasphemous things, you know, that would glorify him. But when we do not live in accordance with God's will, we're giving glory and praise to the devil. You and I may not be going down to the satanic temple. We may not be reading Lucifer's Bible. We may not be committing murder and sacrilege, sacrifices, you know, killing animals and killing the unborn child. But just as Samuel rebuked King Saul and his rebellion, he said to Saul of his rebellion against God, not obeying God's word to the fullest. Because when God told Samuel to tell King Saul that he was supposed to go and kill, I forget who the people were, but he was told to wipe out an entire kingdom, including the king. Wipe everything out, wipe all the animals out, keep nothing. And when Samuel shows up on the scene, he hears sheep, and he asks Saul about the sheep. Did you not obey God's word? Have you kept some animals alive? And Saul would respond, well, the people. You know, he pushed the blame off on the people and said, well, the people wanted to keep the sheep to sacrifice to God. But not only did they keep the sheep alive, but he kept the king alive too. It doesn't matter what the people did. King Saul was told everything was to die. So it was his responsibility to make sure that what God had said was done. Because it wasn't the people, it was King Saul. And he was rebuked for his rebellion, for not obeying God fully, and he was told his rebellion was as the sin of witchcraft. God compares one of his children's rebellion to witchcraft. That's kind of harsh. I mean, to put it in perspective, to put it to, so you could understand, that would be like me as a father going to one of my children that has broken a vase because they were throwing the ball in the house after I'd said multiple times, don't throw the ball in the house. And then they kept doing it, and they broke a vase, and I came to them and asked them what happened, and the child that broke the vase said, well, my sister made me do it. And then me responding kind of like Samuel and saying, well, you know, you rebelled against my word. I told you what to do. You're blaming your sister, but you broke it, and your sin, what you did, as if you committed witchcraft. Or It's as if you committed murder. Sometimes we don't really think about our actions or our speech in contrast to what God believes and what God thinks. We always have an excuse for what we do that is contrary to God. But you know what? You and I can expect to have victory in our life because we are His children. We have confidence that He loves us. But you know what? There needs to be convictions that, you know what, the only way I'm going to see victory in my life is if I'm obedient 100% to what God wants for me. In John chapter 1, in verse 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth." I believe with all my heart this is the Word of God. I believe Jesus Christ is the Word. That's why you find Mary sitting at His feet when her sister Martha is in the kitchen so busy and so annoyed at Mary because she's not helping. And Jesus says of Mary, she's chose the better part. She chose to sit and to listen. Because it does. In order for us to have victorious living, we have to listen to what God says and apply it to our life. Let the Word of God truly be a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path, guiding you, you adhering to it, you obeying it, and we will see victories in our life. I see it time and time again where professing Christians don't read their Bible. And they have problems in their life, and they'll ask my wife for some counsel. They'll ask me for counsel. Well, are you reading your Bible? No, I don't have time for that. I need some real help. It's like, I can't give you any help outside of this. It's amazing, though, how people will go and they will pay somebody who has the title of a psychologist, different people, you know, trying to help people, and they'll pay hundreds of dollars an hour, but they refuse to pick up the one thing that will help them for eternity. Because you know what I love? I mean, sometimes we do need God to point out what's wrong in our life. But I like to look back at Peter when he denied Christ 3 times. And then the Lord came to him on the sea, on the shores of Galilee. And he asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" The 3rd time, you know, Peter was grieved. Because he was convicted in his heart that he had denied the Lord 3 times. And here the Lord's asking him 3 times, "Do you love me?" When was the last time you and I were convicted at reading God's word or listening to a message? Because we can't expect to live victoriously if we're not convicted by God's word, if God's word doesn't do something in our life. The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the Bible says the flesh is weak. Jesus, not once did he tell Peter and bring up the fact that he denied him. He just said, "Do you love me? Okay, now follow me." He said, "Forget those things which are behind." All right, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing toward the mark, going forward, all right? We make mistakes, we confess it, we make it right with the Lord, and we move on. We ask the Lord to help us to be obedient, help us to be faithful to Him. But we do need to have some convictions. We do need to be convicted by God's word. Now, again, we can expect to have victory, but I understand there's times where, you know what, we don't feel like we have victory. All right. Well, 3 times in these 2 verses, or the verses that we read back in 1 John chapter 5, 3 times it is stated, overcometh the world. That overcometh the world. That overcometh the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And you read on, that overcometh the world. Again, it reminds us that we do have victory, but we still live in a fallen world. There are no excuses. There cannot be any excuses among God's people. Oh, the devil made me do it. It used to be one of my excuses when I was younger. The devil made me do it. I thought it would get me out of trouble. It's not my fault, Mom. The devil made me do it. It seemed to never work, though. I still got my spankings. I still got my groundings. I still got sent to my room, right? Because nobody can make you do what you don't want to do. That's why people don't read their Bibles. That's why people don't go to church. That's why people don't trust Christ for things in their life. That's why people don't say they're sorry to people they've done wrong, because they don't want to. We do what we want to do. Take your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. There's always conflict in the world. There'll always be conflict in our lives this side of heaven. But you and I can still live victoriously because we are the children of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, basically God gives us what to do to have victory. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. God says that we can withstand the devices or the wiles, the fiery darts of the devil. He says they're coming. He's going to hurl them at you. He's not going to stop. But we can withstand his attack through the power of Christ and through God's armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith. Isn't that what John said? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And it's part of the armor of God. And God says, above all, taking the shield of faith. I mean, we have to pick it up every day. We have to take it everywhere we go. Because every day we face the lies of the devil. We face the temptations of the devil in various ways. We face his fiery darts. We face his resistance, his opposition, his onslaught. We face it all. If we weren't in a battle, God would not have given us spiritual armor. And many Christians are walking around without their spiritual armor. They're listening to everything they want to listen to. They're watching everything they want to watch. They're saying everything they want to say. They're allowing the devil to have the throne of their heart. And that throne belongs to Christ. As a child of God, he's given us the victory. He goes on to say, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation. I love that. All the fiery darts of the wicked. He gives us complete victory if we'll do it his way. Living victoriously is living Christ's way, his way, his way. Now, very quickly, I want you to think about the fact we can conquer. We can conquer what's going on in this world and in our life. Because 1 Corinthians 15:57 reminds us, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I know you do, because I do. I want to be found faithful when my Savior returns. And I want to hear from his lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear, well done, thou good and perfect, sinless servant. Because I won't hear that. But what I want to hear is, faithful servant. We were faithful to recognize the truth when God revealed it. When the Holy Spirit reveals it in our life, it says, hey, you're kind of getting off track. You're getting off the straight and narrow. Oh, thank you. Because I can't see everything in my life, right? We make decisions that we think are right, but God's given us a guide. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to point out things in our life, to help us to stay close to the Lord. When Paul said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, that's the only thing that helped him in his life, was Christ. But Paul had to submit himself under the mighty hand of God. Whatever happened in his life, whatever would happen on the roads as he would go from town to town, city to city, he just had to trust that, you know what, my God's in control. He wants to do something, not just in my life, but in the lives of others that I come in contact with, because he wants to be glorified in lives. He wants to be glorified in lives, and he wants us to cry out with thankful hearts and voices that our God saves, our God redeems, and my God helps me. He's given me the victory over this world. Truly, again, like I said, go back to 1 John chapter 5, just a couple more minutes. It's just 5 minutes after the hour, so give me a couple more minutes. I'm going to be blunt. It's our fault if we aren't living in victory. It's our fault. I can say that. It's my fault if I'm not living in victory, because he's given me the victory. He's given me the victory. So I can never say, God never blessed me, God never helped me, God's done nothing for me after salvation. Do you want victory? I know you do. Then keep following Christ. Keep allowing him to work in your life. Ask him, Lord, give me a strong desire for your presence in my life. A strong desire for a relationship, not religion. Some people think if they come to church for an hour, they've done their deed and God should be happy with them and let them live their life how they want for the rest of the week. But that's not so. God wants to be a part of our life every hour, every minute, every second, and he wants us to follow in obedience. Now back in 1 John chapter 5, he says again, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. The name above every name. The name the devil hates. The name the world doesn't want you to say. I mean, it's ridiculous that valedictorians at a high school graduation or a college graduation are told, your speech, go ahead, but you cannot say Jesus. But somebody else with a different religion can name Buddha, Allah, can name their gods, but a true follower of Jesus Christ, you name him. I mean, look up the news. It's happened over and over again where valedictorians have named Jesus Christ because they weren't going to be silenced, and they were denied their diploma. Because if you don't remember, maybe they did it for you, but when they walk across the stage and they get that little, you know, diploma little book, there's no diploma in there. Because they want to make sure you turn in your cap and gown. So I remember that in high school. It was like, I was like, what? This is so cruel, you know. But, you know, you turn in your cap and gown. What I'm saying is, listen, the world doesn't want to hear the name Jesus Christ. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Again, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Job 23, verse 12. Job said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." David said in Psalm 42, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." The only way that we're going to live victoriously according to God's plan and will is for us to have a strong desire for God's word on a daily basis. A strong desire that, you know what, I've got to read my Bible. I've got to spend time with God. You know, that TV show can wait. That event, you know what, can wait. I've got to spend time with God because it's the only thing that's going to help me through the day. Do we find ourselves having that desire daily? Was our desire this morning to come to church because we want to hear from God and spend time in God's presence with God's people, or that's what I do on Sunday morning? I used to be in that place. I'm not saying that you are, but I used to be in that place where I'll go to church, do my thing. A lot of Christians used to be in that place. And there are Christians that are in that place right now. Because the activities of this world are so alluring. You know, I work 5 days, you know, people that work in the world, you know. Thankfully, I only have to work 3 days at a secular job. But still, it's 3 days in a secular job. I'd rather not work. But I understand because I used to work 5 days a week, 40 hours a week. Sometimes it was 50 hours a week and so forth. And, you know, then you got stuff to do on Saturday and Sunday. It's like, oh, it's my day off. Tempted not to go to church because, well, you know, it's my day off. I'll just read my Bible and I'll pray and give God his time, right? But there's something about gathering together with God's people that the devil hates. I'm just saying that there needs to be a strong desire in all of us for the things of God. There should be such a driving force to God's throne. He's given us the access. We can come boldly before the throne of grace, right? Before the throne of God to get help in the time of need. I mean, when we need help, man, we're driven to God to, Lord, I need help. I need deliverance, Lord. I need some provisions, you know, whatever's going on. Lord, I need you to work in this person's life. I mean, we're driven to God for certain things. But the one thing that should be driving us to him is our relationship with him. James 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Abraham had an awesome relationship with God. He walked with them. Enoch had an awesome relationship with God. He walked with them. Paul had an awesome relationship with God. Peter did. You do. I do. But we have to keep cultivating that relationship. Christ is perfect, but we have to keep working on it. We have to keep seeking him with all of our heart. We have to keep letting him work in our life. Last place I want you to think about is Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That was God's will and is God's will for you and me from the beginning. He predestinated us to be conformed into the image of our Savior. God truly has our best interest in mind. And he truly has given us victory in a fallen, cursed, dark world. We are to walk as the children of light. And our light is to shine bright. Somebody once said, darker the night, brighter the light. Right? Our light should. Because, I mean, our world's getting darker and darker, isn't it? It's getting more wicked, more sinful. And the light of Christ should shine forth more and more in our life. Because we're getting closer and closer to him. We're letting him transform us into his image. We're letting him do his work on the inside so we can live victoriously on the outside. So we truly can live victorious lives.